Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Because my eyes...
He's here?
No, well, sort of. Because my eyes saw Hall of Famer Jason Kelce against Hall of Famer Aaron Donald. And my eyes told me Jason Kelce kicked his ass a lot. Jason.
This is so wrong.
Facts are facts.
I never had a sack against you guys.
Facts are facts, sir.
Uh-oh.
Jason, I mean it.
Wait, are these inaccurate facts, Jason?
They're misleading facts.
Just being humble?
Yeah, maybe a little double team.
I blocked Aaron Donald one-on-one maybe five times my entire career.
So he was always accounted for in special ways.
I do think me making calls and navigating where he's at and doing things throughout the week to prepare for him, I do think I deserve credit for some of those things that took place. But as far as like me lining up at guard and the slide going away and being man with Aaron Donald, that did not happen to any significant degree, no.
Well, I will say this. You guys, the collective, you handled them. No. I mean, seriously, like, because look, I think I think the Rams beat you, I think, in the COVID year early,
yeah,
I think. But 2018 out there, 2019 out here.
We had their number for the most part.
Yeah.
The Carson game, obviously. They won that game.
Yeah, the Carson game.
It's one of the reasons why I think in 2018, if we beat the Saints, like if Alshon catches that ball, I think we're back in the Super Bowl.
I just think
we matched up really well with the Rams. I think that we had a great plan. Their best player defensively was a reason they were very good. He would ruin games. And I just don't think enough teams changed what they did for him. Like, it was mind-blowing watching tape. And it's like, oh, the back's over here and the center's sliding away every single time. Like, what are you guys thinking? You're giving him an opportunity to ruin all of your plays. It just made no sense.
He was great. I mean,
he was phenomenal. Yeah, he was the best. He was the best and most dominant and most ferocious. And that's like, you know, Myles Garrett, I think, talent-wise, is probably the best defensive lineman I've ever seen.
Wow.
Aaron Donald, he had the talent, but there was a ferocious, like, relentless nature to the way he played football that just made him so much even better than his talent was at. And it was all those things combined that just was like, man, this guy was like feared. There weren't many guys on the defensive side that were like, people were afraid to play him. Aaron Donald was one of those guys.
Wow.
That's something.
He seems like such a nice guy, too, as a person.
Yeah,
let me tell you,
he ain't nice on the phone. Not one bit of it's nice on the phone. And he's mad at me. He's like, yelling, like, why are you, Kel, stop sliding. Stop helping this guy. I'm like, Aaron, you're the best player in the world.
Well, James, I can tell you, I sat next to him at a banquet. When he was coming out of Pitt, I thought he was...
He's always seemed like such a great guy.
I loved him.
That's so funny.
Yeah, before he played in a game in the pros, and I thought he was a great guy. All right, so know the three names we've given you so far. Jason is one of them. We've given you two running backs this week. Know those three names and the one more we give you tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And spread the word to your family and friends. And with the four names, you can win the tickets for the Eagles-Rams game.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, John, I've been holding this audio of Gruden for you. And for Jason. So Grudog unleashed yesterday on the tush push, but not anti-tush push.
I saw this.
Very.
I believe he had a Harry Carmichael jersey on while he was doing
he it. Had wow. Someone,
it was
a Jaws.
Throwback. He had a it Jaws.
Was
Jaws.
It was yeah.
Jaws.
Because they were partners in the Monday Night Football booth.
Makes sense.
And they're
makes
good
sense.
Friends.
This is
so
great.
Grudog is very pro-tush push.
Of course.
Very pro-Eagles. And very anti the naysayers, which I would be one of them, but we won't go there now. All right. We're going to break this audio up into two parts. Let's just get the introductory part. Gruden's just starting to get it revved up. Let's listen to Grudoc.
The hardest yard to get is the yard you need. Third and one. Fourth and one at the goal line. And I've heard a lot about this tush-push. We need to get rid of the tush-push. We need to outlaw the tush-push. Hey, just because you run the tush-push, there's no guarantee you get the yard. I mean, here's the Cleveland Browns running a tush-push. The only guy that got his tush-push was the freaking quarterback. Here's another one. The New York Giants running a tush-push. On Monday Night Football, they get stuffed.
All right, so he's just revving up,
push.
Right?
For sure.
He's right, and John, you know, this is your guy, John.
He's so entertaining.
I'm telling you, this is partly why his teams had success, because like you're not falling asleep in the meeting that Grew is in charge of. And he was the offensive coordinator. So he's the head coach. He's also the play caller, the offensive coordinator. He's doing the install.
For
like
sure.
He's the installer of every single play.
A little different than Brad Childress.
Snap.
A little different.
Oh, wow. Yes.
The history professor.
It was the perfect guy to pick there.
It's really a shame they didn't have this sideline reporter that they're doing in the NBA down in the field with John Gruden.
Exactly.
All right. So Gruden's on a roll. He's let it out there. You know where he's going with this, but he brings it home really strong. For those that are pro tush push, which is like 99% of our listeners, you're going to love this. Here's Gruden yesterday.
Just because you run the play doesn't mean you get the yard. There's no reason to outlaw it. Why don't you get some bigger defensive linemen with better pad level? You can't send out a bunch of pass rush specialists. You got to improve your roster. You got to improve your short yardage defense. Hell, why don't they just outlaw the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line? Lane Johnson, out. Mailata, out. You ever see Mailata? I have a picture next to the guy. He's like a freaking oak tree. Get rid of Cam Jurgens and Landon Dickerson. Mekhi Becton, I know you're in Charger land, but good God. Now they got Steen in there at right guard. Why don't we outlaw the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line? Get your pads down. Get shoe to shoe and earn that yard. Or take that yard away. Do something. Quit complaining.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
I'm telling you, man.
How good is it? That audio courtesy of Barstool. How good is that?
Think about like that. That is what I heard the day I just gotten a cell phone. I'd never had a cell phone before. They told me, okay, prior to the NFL draft, get a cell phone at Radio Shack.
Yeah.
I get this cell phone. I'm at Blockbuster Video. That cell phone rings. This woman comes on and says, hey, Coach Gruden wants to talk to you. I had no idea who Coach Gruden was. But that voice, that man, that craziness gets on the phone. I'm in Blockbuster. He's like, you ready to bring the juice, Richie, or what? Come on down to Oakland. Come across the peninsula. I'm going to come get you. I bet you're out there wearing a rope chain in your backyard, sunning with a towel around your waist. Well, it's even better than that, Richie. Come on up the peninsula. And I had no idea who this was. I had no idea what was going on. I thought this was a prank. I thought this... Come on. Okay, what's the name of this person again?
Sure.
I had no clue. So, again, after the conversation was over, I did not know that I had been drafted.
Well, you were. First pick in the third round, right? Is that what it was?
No, I was...
End of the second, right? Was it?
Well, I was 63rd.
So, first pick in the third round?
No, back then
third pick or something?
Second pick of the third round.
Second pick of the third round. All right.
Because there were less teams.
So, Jason, here's one thing that I think the Gruden thing helps. The Eagles' quest to keep the tush-push. That kind of commentary.
I hope.
That kind of, listen, it's probably going to come up again. But the people like Gruden that say to the world, stop it or do it, I think that does help. Because let's put it this way. The last 72 hours, 4 days times 24 is.
Yeah, if you look at
it hasn't been good for the Eagles, PR-wise.
Yeah.
But pushback like that, it's going to take another campaign probably.
I think the play's done. I think that the play was going to be done last year. I think that there's a lot of people within the league on multiple levels that want the play to be gone, which is fine. I think we'll still go back to running quarterback sneak, and I'm sure they'll figure out ways to be successful. I'm not really that concerned with it, to be very candid. I think that, I mean, he brings up a number of great points. I mean, the reality is the Eagles are the only team that run this at a competitive advantage. Every other team that tries this does not have the statistical evidence to suggest that there is a major competitive advantage. So if that's the reason you want to outlaw it, where is the data that everybody else is getting this at a high percentage? Mm-hmm. It's not out there.
No.
And then, if again, the pushing the runner is the one argument that I can understand, if that is a viewpoint. My argument to that is that the defensive line, they can gang tackle, they can push each other on top of a running back. Like, why can't I assist my guy? So I think that there's an argument to be had there, and that'll fall wherever it does. I think that the health thing, I understand the optics of it, but I just, again, as someone who ran the play, I do not think it exposes you at much risk because there's not enough momentum. Everybody knows what's coming. There's no surprise. Nobody's going to be – I actually think you are higher to get hurt as an offensive lineman, especially on a regular short yardage play. On power, I block down on a nose guard, and they kill a three technique who lands into my knee while I'm standing there. I've seen that happen all the time. I have never seen an offensive lineman blow a knee out on quarterback sneak. I don't think it's even – I don't even know if it – I mean – listen, it's
theoretically possible.
Could happen,
but unlikely, yeah.
I don't think that the health stuff, I think, is a lot more optics than it is in reality, and the statistics back that up. So,
but you do think it's going to be gone?
Yeah, I think that enough people want it gone, and enough people in important places want it gone. And I think that I don't care particularly. I think it's kind of cool to run a play that they just get rid of for not a lot of really very good reasons. And I think that the Eagles are still going to run the quarterback sneak at a very high level. I think there's ways to, you know, adjust moving forward when that inevitability probably does happen. But I do think for the rest of the year, the Eagles need to be very careful. They're going to be under a microscope, highly scrutinized, and, you know, staying out of the neutral zone and timing the snap count a little bit closer to the snap will be much better PR for the remainder of the season. And also, I think that they'll still get the first down, so just do it that way.
This neutral zone stuff, like, holy cow, if they really start calling this tight, it's going to change things. I mean,
I've been yelling it
a game or two, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't think it'll change anything because I think the Eagles will still get the first down even if they're out of the neutral zone. I think the D-line can be in the neutral zone. I think it's still going to be a 90-plus percent success rate. I just... Mm-hmm. I don't think enough teams are dedicated enough to stopping it and allocating enough time, thought, and effort into it. And the Eagles have, at this point, most of the guys on that line, including the quarterback. I don't think people realize how much of an advantage it is that they have run this over 100 times at this point.
Mm-hmm.
How many times does a defensive line face quarterback sneak throughout a season? I don't, like 20 maybe? Maybe even less than that? Like, the Eagles rep count and experience in this play, and I know it doesn't feel like it's that convoluted, and it's not, but that adds up, man, and they have the players to do it. I still think it's going to be executed very highly. I think, and again, I do think it will go eventually, and I think that the Eagles will go back to running regular quarterback sneaks, at which we were still 92% effective.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just... Man, I really do not care at this point. I'm very tired about talking about it and having to refute points that I think don't make a lot of sense logically, and it's just people grasping at straws. And yeah, that's about all I got.
There he is. He ends it with, yep, that's about all I got. Jason, very good stuff. All right, let's get to the Eagles thing. Eagles and the Rams, as they obviously get ready to crank it up on Sunday. You know, this is one of those things where, and John, I'm curious if you differ in any way from what I've heard from, I will literally say, literally everybody this week on the station, which has been the following. Good game, up ahead, great test, Eagles are going to win. That's what everybody says. Is it that simple, John? Talk to me. What are you looking for in this game? I want to hear from everyone what you're keying in on this game. But also, is it as simple as, I know it's a tough one, but I just totally expect Eagles to win? Is that where we are?
I do expect that the Eagles win this game because they can do something that the Rams can't stop, and that's run the football. We've demonstrated that against this Rams defense ourselves last season, every time we played them. And then the Rams defense, I was looking at some stats since the start of last season, including the playoffs, their rushing yards allowed per game, they rank 25th.
Well, Saquon can attest to that.
Their run stop percentage, they rank 29th. Their yards before contact per rush ranks 30th, wow, which is a really awful stat. That means you got blocked, basically.
Sure.
So the Rams defense gets blocked. Our offense blocks people. Last year, we ran the ball down their throats, and we're bringing the same people back. I don't see how it's different in that regard. The problem is, they added Devontae Adams to Puka Nacua,
yeah,
in their receiving core, and now you got Matthew Stafford, who really was never really that hurt anyway, with his back, quote, back injury that kept him out of training camp. This guy is a boss, and he can throw the ball everywhere in the stadium, and he's got two unbelievable wide receivers who really understand how to get open, and we have a major problem at our third cornerback spot. So you better believe this coach, Sean McVay, is going to figure out ways to pick on Adoree Jackson or whoever's across the way from Quinyon and not named Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, yeah. Look,
so I do think a lot of points could get scored in this game, but sometimes when games, when you see games unfold like this, it never happens the way you expect. But they have the capacity to score on us. I know we have the capacity to score on them.
Sure.
I think we're just going to score on them a lot more than they score on us.
So I don't think it'll be a lot more. I do tend to think the Eagles win this game. But curious where you stand at 215-592-9494 as you key in on it, on what is, from your standpoint, key that you think, not just really, because let's be real, we talk about the game, but in many ways we're talking about the upcoming season and what this game represents within it and what we have this year. You know, I think the main chatter, well, there's two main chatters this week. One's been obviously the tush push, but the other's been about the offense and the inefficiency to this point this year. You know, number one thing for me looking ahead to this game is the Eagles hopefully getting this offense going. And I want to emphasize offense, not just the Hurts passing thing to A.J. Brown. So, you know, I think it's pretty clear the offensive, let's start with this, where the Eagles have started for the last decade, the offensive line has not been as good. Why? I don't know. Is it a Becton-Steen thing? Don't know. Is it a Dickerson, banged up thing? Probably to an extent. You know, I think that makes some sense. But first and foremost, you want to see an offensive line, which last year largely did dominate against the L.A. Rams, reestablish itself, because that has been the Eagles' bread and butter now for a decade. And so let's get that going. Now, let me get to number two, Saquon. It goes a little hand-in-hand with the offensive line. But he last year, in the two games against the L.A. Rams, I'm going to just put it out there in blunt terms, was as good as any running back I've ever seen the Eagles have in a game. Ever. And I've
twice.
Seen LeSean.
Twice.
Twice, right, James? I've seen LeSean, Shady. You know, I was young on the Wilbur front. You know, I was very young back then. You know, Ricky Waters. Like, I love all those guys. Okay, but what Saquon did in L.A. and then what Saquon did in Philadelphia in the divisional round of the playoffs was, it was like watching Babe Ruth.
Over 450 yards rushing.
Right, and I didn't watch Babe Ruth, but I can only imagine. So, like, I'm not asking for 220 yards on Sunday, but let's get closer to some of that than what it's been the first 2 weeks when he's averaging, what, 65, 70 yards. Pretty big difference. So that, to me, is number two. And then, obviously, you want to get the Hurts, A.J., Hurts, Devontae thing going. There's no question about it. But to me, it starts with what I think the Eagles have always started with, which is a strong line, and in recent years, a rushing attack that puts fear into a defense and helps open up the passing game for Jalen and A.J. and Devontae and whoever my tight end is. That's my mindset. That's number one. Number two is this. It may cost the Eagles the game, it may not, but it certainly could cost them the season. And John touched on it. Number two within this game,
how does it look with my second cornerback against a great receiver? Now, we saw in week one, that was a matchup where if CeeDee Lamb catches some of those balls, that could have been a different outcome. And that was a team, Dallas, that walks in with two pretty damn good receivers. CeeDee Lamb, obviously exceptional. This team, I would say, even better than that, although it's very close, with the wide receiver spot. And so it may not cost them the game, but if you've got a major issue that dangles all year with cornerback two, how does it look, you know, in October, November, December, and obviously in January, and you hope February with a Super Bowl? To me, those are by far the two most intriguing things with this game. 215-592-9494. James, those are something different. What's on your mind?
I think it's definitely how the offense looks is the most intriguing thing going into this game. Look, we've spent the whole week talking about it. I know I'm not as concerned as other people are, but I think the variation in the offense, how the scheme looks, how the running game looks, how Jalen throws the ball, like, I don't think, honestly, I like the defense, I trust them to show up. I know the Rams are good, but I think they'll play a good game. It's all about how the offense looks.
Yeah, the offense, I mean, listen, they got to, you know, they haven't had to get it going to win. Obviously, they're 2-0, but at some point, they're going to have to play better. They obviously did late last season, to say the least, and you hope they can crank it up on Sunday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks about the Eagles, maybe even sneak in a Phil's question or two. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you doing?
All right, Elliot, let's start with this. Game two starter. Should it be Lizardo or Ranger?
I would start Ranger. I just have way more confidence in him given past playoff performances.
Yep, I think that's the right answer, and I think that's what they will do. All right, let's talk a lot of football here, Elliot. So I heard Mike Mayock yesterday. We're going to play the audio shortly. Pretty strong defense of Jalen Hurts. Heard you this week when talking about there's been a lot that's gone wrong with the Eagles offense, but you said earlier in the week you put, you know, the chunk that gets the biggest portion of the pie, to use an Andy Reid term, would be Jalen. Help me understand the dichotomy between those that say, and I'm one of them, it's more of a Jalen thing, and those that say it's less of a Jalen thing. How do you break it down?
Yeah, so I thought the Mike Mayock interview or soundbite you're going to play, it was a really good back and forth. I mean, my takeaway from it was basically that the offense is struggling and, you know, the quarterback has to get the ball out, but he won the Super Bowl, so, you know, give him some time, right? And I think that's a fair thing for someone to say. Like, Jalen does not deserve, after two games, to be questioned big picture as a starter or big picture as a passer. But also after two games, the passing game is one of the worst in the NFL, and the quarterback absolutely holds blame for that. And in my opinion, when I watch it, and I heard a lot of interviews throughout the week, I think a lot of people agree with me, like, the ball's not getting out on time. Like, yes, are guys wide open? No. But the ball is being held just a half a second, and because of that, the ball, like, they're not getting the ball down the field. So I think it's pretty clear. Like, when this team is great, which is why I gave Jalen a ton of credit last year, it's because of Jalen. And when they're struggling, it's because of Jalen. So I don't think they'll ever be a super prolific passing offense under Jalen, but I do think they'll win a ton of games. So
let's listen to Mayock. We have the audio here. And look, it was a long interview. It's hard to break it all down into just one sound bite. But we went with this one because it gets to a lot of the heart of what Mike was talking about. Here's a defense of Jalen Hurts, Mike Mayock, yesterday.
The Jalen Hurts stuff, I get frustrated because you watch the tape and – you know, I don't think you saw what happened with the Eagles' pass protection on those 7-0 blitzes. I didn't know it until I saw it. And, like, on one play, Saquon Barkley missed two guys in the A-gap. I mean, he in the center. I mean, two guys in the A gap came through untouched in addition to the free runner outside. Okay? On another pass protection, one of the tackles stepped out and blocked the defensive end instead of the safety to his inside gap. And my point is, I don't want to get overly technical, but there are so many things going on, right? To be sitting there and calling out Jalen Hurts when all he's done is take you to two Super Bowls in the last 3 years, win the first two games of your season, you know, Dallas and at Kansas City, has it been pretty? No. And I know you're frustrated by it because it doesn't look right, and you want the Eagles to get better as the season goes on, but all I'm trying to say is, man, I know how hard it is to win in this league. Ike knows how hard it is to win in this freaking league, man. And it might be ugly, but they're 2-0, and give them a chance to work into their new offensive coordinator. The differences in their offensive line. Get comfortable with what they can do. And ultimately, if somebody wants to run seven zeros at you, you got to be run. I mean, you got two of the best wideouts in the league, and you got to use them to take advantage and win. But you also have to pass protect properly also.
Excellent interview. Spike, Ike, and Jack yesterday with Mayo.
So how does that make you feel?
Well, Good question, John.
I have talked this week many times about the offensive line hasn't played as well. I've talked about that many times this week. But it's
on Jalen.
A lot is on Jalen, but there. Listen, let me be clear. Based on last year to this year, here's what I say. Jalen hasn't been as good. Saquon hasn't been as good. The offensive line hasn't been as good.
No.
Okay, I'm not going to say the tight ends haven't. Goddard got injured. I'm not going to say the wide receivers haven't. I don't think they've really had opportunity. But I think Saquon, offensive line, and Jalen have all taken steps back.
How's the health of our offensive line, Elliot?
It looks good. I expect all five starters to play on Sunday. And, you know, Mike Mayock is correct there. Like, they blitz the Eagles a ton. But I also think, like, and I just heard it a little bit there, like, there's some pushback from people where if there's criticism of the offense, right? Like, oh, it doesn't look good. Like, even Mayock in there is like, it's been ugly, right? But they're winning. Yes, but part of that is it has been ugly. Like, I don't think the Jalen Hurts is above criticism or the offense is above criticism just because they won the game. Like, we can all watch that and see that it's the product right now, the way they're playing, is not sustainable. I mean, even A.J. Brown essentially admitted it when he said it was fair to question it.
Does anyone think the product is going to stay this way? Like, do we think this is the product?
Are we worried about that?
Max's whole point is give them a chance to work it out. Like, that's my whole point, too. It's not, yeah, they didn't look great against
the
Chiefs. Exactly.
Right.
Do you?
I agree. No, I agree with you. I think it'll probably get better throughout the year, but I don't know what you want us to do for 2 weeks of the regular season.
Well, Elliot, let me give you a prediction, independent of criticism about how we talk about what we talk about. I'll give you a prediction. I think the passing game will look more like this for the regular season than it was in the Super Bowl.
I agree.
I mean, I think they're closer to this over the long haul than what they put out there in the last two games of the season last year. That's my opinion of where it's at. All right,
and
Elliot.
And also, yeah. Go ahead. No,
all right,
go ahead.
Let's switch gears. Tush push. So, I mean, we can go round and round on this forever. God, where do you even go? Do you think it's gone after this year?
So I did not until I heard Jason Kelce on your show yesterday. And Kelce, as someone that was in that room, you know, like, for a lot of the meetings last year, gave that passionate speech to help save it. If he thinks it's gone, I will take him as a more informed person on this, and I'll take his word for it. I just think that, like, the idea that you're going to now maybe take it out because it's hard to officiate, I think is silly. And, you know, I also think, like, what Adam Schefter said this week was kind of correct. Like, when Schefter says they won the game because of the tush push, He might be right about that.
What he means
is, like, they won the game because they converted on third down, fourth down in the red zone better than the Chiefs. Like, that's what he's saying. And I know the way he's saying it comes across rude, but, like, ultimately the tush push is just a play they use in situational football that absolutely helps them win games. So I mean, I'll take Kelce's word for it. I think, though, the chances it's gone, I don't think are great, just because I don't know how you can kick it out because of officiating.
So when we look at their defense, we ran the ball down their throats last year. Has that changed in any way? Should we expect that we're going to attack them the same way we had so much success last season, Elliot?
Yeah, they have an elite defensive line. Now, it's elite at pass rushing, not as great at stopping the run as you mentioned and as we saw last year. So I would expect, much like the Eagles have seen the first 2 weeks, they are going to come in focused on stopping the run, and then it will be up to the Eagles to beat them through the air. And one thing that's been happening this year is throughout his career, Jalen Hurts has struggled against zone defense, and he's been excellent against man coverage. This year, they are seeing about a third of the coverage of man as they were last year. They're getting almost exclusively zone. So I think what teams are doing is they're coming in, they're keying on the run, and they're daring the passing offense to beat them against zone coverage, and they've not been able to do it. And A.J. Brown, talking at his locker yesterday, said, yeah, we're probably going to keep getting zone defense until we show we can stop it. So, yeah, I think the Rams are going to try to stop the run. I'd imagine they'll probably have success if that's, like, their main key. And then we'll see if the passing game can move the ball enough to win the game.
All right, Elliot, good stuff, bud. Looking forward to Sunday. We'll talk to you, obviously, early next week, recapping it all, and a lot going on with the Birds. Elliot, thanks, pal.
Yep, talk to you later.
I have something I think could help the Eagles offense grow. As we look forward to this game on Sunday against the Rams, and it's a big one. It is a big early season game. Rams 2-0, Eagles 2-0. Who knows? Tiebreakers, home field. Who knows what this game's going to mean down the line? But it's a big one for this particular week. And you started there by saying how your, what are you calling it? Your evolution phase? Growth phase?
Yeah, growth phase.
Well, I want Jalen Hurts to get it. Yeah, okay. I'm interested in Jalen Hurts' growth phase and his evolutionary phase and the growth of this passing game. And Gio, I have a message for Jalen Hurts, I have a message for the Eagles offense, and I have kind of just a plea or something I want them to do, I want him to do. Because I heard him yesterday, his press conference, talked about protecting the football, and you know, he was taking accountability for the offense needing to be better, but he also, you know, talked about the standard and what they need to be, right? And I was watching him yesterday and thinking about the game and thinking about the way he's played the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that Jalen Hurts over the last, what is it now, 20 games or so? I mean, it's a long time. It's the yes. beginning. It's the beginning of last October through now, which includes the postseason. He has become one of the best quarterbacks in pro football at protecting the football. Jalen Hurts does not turn the football over.
No, he does not.
He was very good at it early in his career. He had a blip in 23 where he started to turn the ball over. And then since, I would say, the beginning of last October, he's been excellent at protecting the football. But sometimes when you're risk-averse, I think you go a
risk
little too
averse.
Far. Yeah, I think you go a little too far. There's that fine line between not taking risks and not trying to make something happen and maybe going too far, being too conservative. And I think we've gotten there with Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense. I'm going to give you a couple of statistics. One is good, one is not good. Let's start with the good one. Jalen Hurts, so far this season, through two games, has the third best turnover-worthy play rate in the NFL, which means he's very rarely making a play that you say that could have been a turnover. Very rarely putting the ball in harm's way. That's great. He also has the lowest depth of target of his career. He's throwing the ball 6 yards a pop. I mean, that on average, 6 yards a pop. That includes a bomb to Dotson in week one. I mean, these are dink and dunk, and there's no teeth to this passing game right now. Hugh, I'm at the point where I think it is time for Jalen Hurts to take a few more risks in the passing game. And I understand what that means. That means putting the ball potentially in harm's way. It means giving your guys a chance to make a one-on-one play. And sometimes one-on-one plays go the wrong way. I get how it works. But I think we've gone too far in one direction. And I think it's actually kind of hampering the passing game because defenses know they're not going to take risks. And I think it's making the run game harder because everyone's coming up in the box. I wish Jalen Hurts take more chance in the passing game. Give these guys a chance to make plays. Hugh, what's your feeling on it as Jalen Hurts continues to take care of the football, but the passing game seems to get worse while that happens?
You know what? When you were talking, Joe, I was thinking about this saying. You know, you heard a saying, slow money
mm-hmm.
is better than no money.
Mm-hmm.
And that what kind of comes to mind when I think about this offense and Jalen Hurts. Now, I'm a firm believer in you have to take what the defense gives you,
sure.
I should say. You have to take what the defense gives you. And I think in the last two games, that has been the story. Unfortunately for Jalen, the numbers don't bear out what other quarterbacks have, you know, had success in over the last couple of weeks in the NFL. But you're 2-0, and you found ways to win games. Now, I say all that to say that I feel like this weekend, the effort that you put together in those last two games is probably not going to be enough to beat the Rams, knowing what we know about them. You know, the receivers that they have there and how they like to throw the ball all over the schoolyard. With that being said, I still want Jalen to do what Jalen's able to do, but I don't want him to do it at the risk of putting the ball in harm's way.
Yeah, but do you think sometimes there is, you go too far with it? Like, if there's a play to be made, trust your receiver, well, trust your arm, yeah, make
there,
a play.
There's that, and there are guys that have been made a living and are comfortable with throwing picks like that. Brett Favre is a guy that comes to mind immediately. Brett Favre threw a lot of picks, but he also made a lot of big plays.
It's almost like the net, right? Like, yeah. Is it worth it? And I understand why Jalen's gone this way. It's helped the team win a lot of football games because they leaned on that defense, the running game last year. I just keep wondering if he in his head has gone too far, like, I can't take a chance. But sometimes if you don't take any chances, you don't actually make any big plays.
Mm-hmm. I think what has happened is this, and I don't know Jalen well enough to make this assessment, but I know his character a little bit. He does enough to win the game. And when you look at the last two games, it feels like, even though there weren't a whole lot of big plays, that he did just enough to win the game. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I think if the game dictated the fact, like, say if Patrick Mahomes and those guys would have scored on that interception where Travis dropped the ball and the Eagles defense comes, or when the Eagles offense comes out and they sputter on that drive, and they get behind, then I think the passing game would have ramped up a little bit.
Well, I think it would have had to. They would have no choice.
Because you have no choice.
Yeah.
Like, I think the way this game is going to go, we kind of know what the Rams are going to be. We know they're going to throw the football.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I don't think the way that we've operated in the last couple of weeks is going to help us win this game.
Yeah, the Rams threw two games. They're throwing the ball for 271 yards a game.
You see what I'm
saying?
They're going to throw the ball. And conventional wisdom tells you that throwing the ball, you score quicker than you do running the ball. And we've been pretty successful running the ball. I think in the last couple of weeks, we're just at maybe a hair under 300 yards. You know, when you talk about the 80-some yards we had,
probably
270,
probably.
Something like that.
Yep.
But the point is, That's not going to help us win this game. So you're going to have to put the ball in there.
215-592-9494. Look, the Eagles have won a lot this particular way for a long period of time now. But I'm thinking and I'm believing that we've gone a little bit too far to start this year. Again, last year, Jalen did take some shots down the field. He did. Now this year, it's been just the one. And I'm starting to wonder if Jalen has almost convinced himself he can't take a risk. I'm here to say you can. You have two great receivers on the outside. Give them a shot to make a play. Through two games, Jalen Hurts has zero touchdown passes. And I think that's more of an indictment on the way he's playing rather than his ability. He has the ability to throw touchdowns.
Yes, he does.
He has the ability to move the ball. We've seen it many times in the last 5-6 years. He has the ability to throw the ball down the field. I think it's more in his head than it is in his arm right now. And the Eagles are the first team since 2000 to start off a season 2-0 without a single touchdown pass. It doesn't feel sustainable to me the way they're running the offense right now. Jalen Hurts, take some more risks. Let's do it. 215-592-9494. Do you want Jalen Hurts and the Eagles passing game to take more chances here and throw the ball a little bit? And I wouldn't even call it harm's way, but just give your guys a shot to make a play. Kyle, where do you come down as the Eagles and Jalen Hurts are very risk averse, but there's also no big plays coming
right
now?
Yeah, it's gone way too far. Like, we're at a point where the offense, or the passing offense at least, is like, it's almost like cowardly. Why does throwing the ball down the field automatically have to equate to throwing interceptions?
It doesn't.
Like, let's talk about some of the guys who everybody all offseason told me that Jalen Hurts is on par with.
Here we go.
And what they're throwing. Lamar last year, 4,000 yards, 4 interceptions, throwing the ball down the field. Joe Burrow, about almost 5,000 yards, 9 interceptions. Josh Allen, 3,700 yards, 6 interceptions. Like, throwing the ball down the field doesn't necessarily have to mean that you're going to turn the ball over. Like, if we have confidence in Jalen Hurts to move the ball and throw the ball like these other guys, then it should be okay getting the ball on the field. Like, by the way, we have A.J. Brown and Devontae who, when they're one-on-one, like, they can win those one-on-one matchups. And, I mean, God forbid, if you do get a turnover, guess what else we have? A great defense. It's not all of a sudden going to mean that we're getting 7 points put on our head. Like, it's okay. We've gone way too far with the not turn the ball over thing. Like, and the offense just become boring. And I understand that we're 2-0. It's not a news flash to me or anybody else. We do know before everyone starts saying, guess what, they're 2-0. I get it. But, like, I just don't view this, what we're doing right now, as a sustainable way for us to keep winning down the stretch. I just don't.
Let me ask you guys a question. And I think Kyle's right on that. That's not, it's not sustainable this way. So that they have made a living around here, Hugh, and not turn the football over and winning when they win the turnover differential. And I totally think that we should that should always be the goal, not to turn the football over and to create turnovers to win that battle. Let me give you a couple stats on the two teams we're going to see this weekend. So we talk about Matthew Stafford, right? They're going to throw the football. So far this season, Matthew Stafford has one pick. He's thrown one pick over the first two games. Jalen has zero. So they've got one interception. We've got none. But the Rams passing game has generated 11 pass plays of 20 or more yards. You know how many we have? Two. I would to get to nine more 20-plus yard passing plays, I would trade a pick for that. I would trade an interception to get nine more throws 20-plus yards down the field. That's how you would get points. That's how you get into scoring territory. I would trade that. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? Do you want the Eagles passing game to take more chances? It has become very risk averse. Jalen Hurts has the lowest depth of target of his entire career, and we know he throws a good deep ball. Let it rip. That's where I come down. Kyle's with me. Hugh, I mean, it almost sounds like Hugh's kind of cowardly on this. Doesn't want to throw, take any. Yeah, I mean,
cowardly.
You don't
no.
want to take any chances.
No.
Here we come go. On.
It's not that. It
kind of is. Risk averse, Hugh.
Do what you can do. Now, when I say that this week, I think that when you look at the game plan, you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs tried to do last week. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're coming after Jalen. Guns are blazing. Like, they're going to blitz him quite a bit. They have the defensive line to get the job done.
Absolutely.
And they're a little salty because in the first game against the Eagles last year in L.A., they got manhandled a little bit. They came back and they played better. Didn't get the win, but they played better. They feel like they're right there. The Rams team feels like, you know, they're probably the biggest threat to the Eagles. Well, they are because it's the weekend game, you know, but still. They're a big threat to the Eagles, and they like the matchup. They like it a lot.
Well, I'm sure they do. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to throw the football on Sunday.
Oh, yeah,
and I want the Eagles to take some more chances.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The other part of the reason why they got there last year was their defense, which was clearly not a luxury, but a necessity last season. All right, Hugh, before we get back to the phones, Sunday's game. What's this one on? This game on the offense or the defense to go win?
Offense.
Hello, Earth to you.
He's still asleep from the last call.
I was thinking about it. You was asking me, like,
yeah, offense or defense?
Yeah, offense.
Offense?
Yeah.
But the defense is better right now.
You said who do I think the game is going
to
fall on?
Yeah, like which side of the ball has to go win the game?
And you the think offense.
Yeah. But they're not as good as the defense right now.
Well, see, Joe, when you asked me the question and I was workshopping it, I was making sure I heard exactly what you said.
So why the offense?
Because the offense has been anemic the last couple of weeks.
It has.
The defense has been pretty stalwart for when you talk about the guys that have been out there and have played under the circumstances, yeah. You know, new faces and all that other stuff. They're like how we hit a home run. When you asked me the question, I was like, okay, I hear what you're saying.
Right.
You're saying who's going to lead the way.
Yeah, if they win the game, it's because which side led the way.
We got to score points.
So I agree they have to score points. But I also think the defense is going to have to make a play. I'm just not very confident the offense is going to do what we want them to do. Now, I hope they do, and they certainly are capable. Are they just going to wake up on Sunday and do what we want, or is it going to take some time? I think it's going to probably take some time. So
yes.
Maybe they'll be a little better. Maybe they'll make a play or two. But I need – like, the game ended when they played each other last year. The game ended because Jalen Carter made a play, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Rams are moving the ball. Rams are going down the field. Rams might go win the football game. And then Carter makes a play. And I need someone on Sunday to make a play, whether that is Jalen Carter again, whether it's Nolan Smith off the edge. Maybe it's – Maybe it's Quinyon, right? If they're throwing the ball as much as we think they're going to throw, Quinyon's going to be right there, right? He's going to be in coverage on Devontae Adams or Puka a lot. Make a play. Make an interception. I mean, that could change the entire football game, even if they're moving it. If we take the ball away, maybe that tips the game. I mean, I hear you. And we would feel so much better if the offense goes out there and really revs it up on Sunday.
See, this is how I think the game's going to play out. I think the defense is going to keep us in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're gonna keep them bogged down for the most part. When I say the offense, it's because we have to score. We have to Captain Obvious over here.
Got the key to the game. We got to score on Sunday.
We're gonna have to move the ball more efficiently. Like we've been efficient. We haven't turned the ball over. All of that stuff, but. I feel like in this game, the way that they're going to play us and the way that that defensive line is set up, they're small and faster guys. Mm-hmm. So it's probably, even though, you know, they were suspect against the run last year, there's going to be an overemphasis to try to stop the run because that's our go-to. That's our bread and butter.
Well, and that's how we crushed them with long runs. You think about the Saquon had two huge ones out in Los Angeles. That's the November game, and that's when he really became an MVP candidate, and we all realized, like, holy hell, look what he's doing. And then the game here, he had two long ones, including one at the end in the snow. And Jalen had the first touchdown of that game on like a 45-yard run. We gashed him for three huge runs. Can we get one of those on Sunday?
Look for some run blitzes.
Yeah,
against this team.
I would even take a Jalen long run on Sunday. I feel like the first two games. Am I the only one that feels like Jalen? They haven't run Jalen like on purpose. Like when Jalen has run, it's been a scramble. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get out of trouble. I mean, I don't want to run Jalen 10 times a game and get him hurt. He's the quarterback. We got to keep his legs and his body healthy.
But you want him to run and be what's the word I'm looking for?
Threat.
Well, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I just feel like we've
threat works.
We have forgotten, or maybe it's a Petula thing. I just feel like has there been a single Jalen? Forget tush pushers. Has there been a single Jalen Hurts designed run so far? We usually do that like.
You mean like a rollout naked boot or something like that?
An RPO where he keeps it and runs. Like, I feel like usually two or three of those a game we're good for. And I don't know if we've done one the first 2 weeks. It feels like it's gone out of our gameplay. Kyle, what are you feeling? Offense, defense? Who's got to win this game?
Well, the defense has to win it. And that's more coming from a place of, I don't believe in the offense just yet.
I don't think the offense can.
I think, look, like, we might have to be resigned to the reality that the defense is going to have to win a lot of games for the Eagles this year.
Well, because it's a necessity, number one.
I mean, that's like we all knew that, except for one person.
I had the hottest take on the planet for like three whole years.
Just because AI overview told you that.
Look at AI, they told me. But yeah. I hear what you guys are saying, but I don't think you're looking at it the right way. This defense is playing well, and this defense is going to keep us in the game. But in order, like when you say the defense leads the way, you know what immediately I think about? Defense scoring touchdowns and things of that nature because this offense is bogged down.
Well, it could be turnovers. I mean, it could also be holding them to three instead of seven. Yeah, that could keep us in the game.
Yeah.
Like if you.
No, you. I'm sorry. You got it.
Yeah. Well, I have vision, first of all.
Third eye?
Yes. Third eye vibrating on just a higher frequency right now. And
just because you say it,
if the Eagles are going to struggle to score,
I think that about you every day.
No, but because I mean it, I live it on a daily basis. Kyle's being sarcastic.
No, I'm living
my
truth.
That's what he's doing. He's being sarcastic.
This is your fault. You tell people to live their truth, and now we get this.
I mean, like, if the Eagles are going to, if it's going to be like pulling teeth for us to score like 23 points this season, then we need to hold the Rams at 20, or we need to hold the Rams at 17. Like that's what I mean by the defense has to win.
I think y'all are looking at this the wrong way. And let me help y'all out because this is what I do on a daily basis. We're trying to get to California, right?
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Santa Clara.
So we need to be able to be a lot more balanced than we have been.
I agree.
So we need to open this thing up this weekend. We need to do, outside of the picks that he threw, we need to do it with Tua Tagovailoa did yesterday. He need to go ahead and throw that thing all around the schoolyard. Tua Tagovailoa. You know her, man. I killed it that last time. Growth.
Did, yeah. You cooked.
No, but I'm saying.
I know you're using last night's game as an example. Maybe we could
stop
be
doing that.
More like Lamar
no,
or Josh.
But we
want to be more like Tua. Okay.
Yeah, the other elites.
No, I'm just saying throw
Tua?
The football.
Yeah,
I'm
I
just
got
saying
you.
Throw
yeah,
the football. Because here's the reality of why we all feel the way that we feel. Is because we watch these games, and if you're being honest with yourself, especially last night because that's the last game. I got to use that one because that's the last game we saw.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an Eagles fan last night, you watched that game, and at some point, at some point during that game, Joe, you said to yourself, you know I'm going with this, don't you? Why can't we throw the ball like that? We got better receivers.
I think it every time I'm watching these football games.
No, let me tell you. And I'm this is
Guy
not
Marshall.
This is not me saying anything.
Guy Marshall hurts.
No,
listen. It's an insane take.
This is not me taking any shots at anybody. But when you look at the last, you look at the beginning of week three in the NFL, and you look at the last 2 weeks in the NFL, even though we're 2-0, and I'm gonna hang my hat on that every time we talk about
here
it, because it's the truth.
Here we go.
But it's like, damn, why we ain't throwing the ball like that yet? It's coming. I think it's coming. I think it is. But there's a little bit of envy. There's a little bit of envy, especially when you talk about the way that game went last night, because, boy, it was a whole lot of cats sweating when Tua had that ball driving down the field, and he was looking like he was going to tie it up, and then he did. And
here's Hugh's way of saying I was almost right.
Man, listen, I was. Mm-hmm. I told, like I said last mm-hmm. night, mm-hmm. it's a win for me regardless. The 14 up all at the half, that was a win for me all day long.
Yeah, you lost the bet, though.
I mean, but I won the war.
You did not. Save the yelling and screaming for 1 o'clock on Sunday at the
yes,
Link when the Rams come in here. And hopefully we're yelling and screaming with excitement because the Eagles go out there and they get this pass game revved up and they go win the football game. But I got to tell you, Hugh, I have a feeling this morning I haven't had in a long time.
What you got?
Nervous.
Trepidation?
Nervous.
A little nervous?
I am. For the first time, I am not walking into an Eagles game in a while with some super confidence. I mean, last week they were going to Kansas City against a desperate Chiefs team, and I sat here and said, they're going to win the game. They're the better football team. Week one, I thought they'd blow the Cowboys out. You go back to last year, I thought they could blow the Chiefs out in the Super Bowl. I mean, I have been feeling like the outcome is pretty much there before the game starts for a while with the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't feel that this week. I have some nerves. I mean, clearly they're facing a great football coach in Sean McVay, a tremendous quarterback in Matthew Stafford. They got weapons. They got a pass rush. We know why that game last year in the postseason was close. We know why the two teams matched up so tightly in that game here in Philadelphia. I guess it comes down to this. Entering the game, if we're all being honest, and I think we try to be in the midday show, the Rams are coming into the game playing better football than the Eagles. That's a fact, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first 2 weeks, the Rams look more impressive than the Philadelphia Eagles. I guess it comes down to this. Do we just give the Eagles the benefit of the doubt? Do they deserve the benefit of the doubt that they're just going to find a way to win the game as they try to figure themselves out? Hugh, what are you feeling this morning? Because I understand there's going to be a lot of people out there that just say, give them the benefit of the doubt. They're going to figure it out. That's what they usually do. They've won 18 out of 19. Just keep coming back to the Rams have been more impressive than the Eagles the first 2 weeks of the season.
I hear what you're saying, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer your question, yes. I'm not going to answer the long way today.
Okay. No long
yes.
talking. Wow.
Well, no, because I was about to long talk, but I said I'm not going to long talk okay. because I was about to say something to the effect that I know where people are coming from with this. Mm-hmm. And looking at this matchup, you feel like it's going to be lopsided because of what the Rams bring to the table. You know, when you talk about Devontae Adams and you talk about Puka Nacua and them throwing the ball all over the schoolyard, we haven't been able to do that yet. So I'm with you when you say, is this, you know, being a little nervous about this game because we haven't done that yet.
Yep.
But I'm giving us the benefit of the doubt because we have the personnel to do that. We just haven't done it yet.
Well, you're right about that. And that's why, look, the Eagles are favorite in the game. They're at home. They have Vic Fangio. There's a lot of reasons why the Eagles could and maybe should win this football game. But I'll say this when it comes to benefit of the doubt in football. That only lasts for so long. I'm going to give you an example. The Chiefs, for a while last year, won the way we're winning the first 2 weeks of the season. They really did. I mean, the Chiefs won a lot of football games last year, just like this. And their offense was really never impressive, and they were kind of just eking games out. And eventually, they got smacked by the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And now they start this season after all those games of, you know, the Chiefs had a record last year of games they won by 7 points or less. Like those tight games, they always found a way. And that's kind of the Eagles now. The Eagles have become tight games, just find a way. Well, the Chiefs so far this year are 0-2. Eventually, you have to play well to win football games. And right now, I don't love the way the Eagles' offense is playing by any stretch. I don't love their running game right now. I specifically don't love their passing game right now. And I have concerns. 215-592-9494. So No, I'm not doing the benefit of the doubt thing. I need to see them play well. I need to see the Philadelphia Eagles offense play well and move the football. Hugh just mentioned what the Rams are bringing in. It's very good. And it's not, you know, and I agree. The Eagles should be just as good on name value. Like when all those preseason lists came out, you know, Stafford and Hurts were ranked similarly, right? Fifth, sixth, seventh in the NFL. Very good quarterbacks. One guy's playing like it right now. And his offense is moving the football with two good receivers in Nacua and Adams. And the other guy, our guy, is not happening yet. Doesn't mean he's not capable, but it's not happening yet. And, you know, I go back to last year and my feeling on that playoff game. I was very nervous for the Rams game. You guys were all upset at me. I felt sick going into the game because I respect that coach. I respect that team. And they gave us a fight. And if it wasn't for Jalen Carter, the whole thing may have died right there in the division round. And I feel the same way this week. I got some nerves for this game. 215-592-9494. You can only go off of, hey, they find a way so often. You got to find a way by playing well. I need to see it to really now believe it with the 2025 Eagles. 215-592-9494. That benefit of the doubt thing, Hugh, is interesting, though, because as much as sometimes it does look ugly, I mean, it is true they've won 18 out of 19 games.
Yeah. And that's the thing, and this is where, you know, for a lot of people it gets a little skewed when we watch football, because a lot of it, I know we like to talk about factual things, but a lot of football is based in gut feeling and how you feel the game potentially might go.
Yep.
For example, last night, that Miami game, I know you were kind of sweating a little bit, especially at halftime.
Well,
it was at 14-14.
Not only that, I'm in two survivor pools, or one, but I have two entries.
Uh-huh.
I took the Bills as one of my entries, mostly despite you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn. If I come in here tomorrow and he's peacocking around and I lost $50 in this pool, I'm going to be really upset.
Joe, when that game was 14-14, I that's why I tweeted. I said, I won regardless.
Well, I mean, you lost.
Well, I did lose. Yeah. But
you're
it bad. Was a.
You taking a moral victory in a betting loss?
Yes.
In a money, in a money line betting loss.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
It's unbelievable.
I should have took the points.
Of course you should have.
I should have took the points. I'm learning. But they came out and they fought. They fought hard. But to your point, and you always say this, the more talented team won out.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at that Buffalo Bills team, they scored when they had to, you know. And you talk about some of the missed opportunities that the Miami Dolphins had. Then when you run into the kicker, dude, that gets you cut.
Oh, it was bad.
That gets you cut. And then you throw an interception when you're driving the ball down the field. Those two things right there. Like, there was a lot of miscues for the Miami Dolphins that really cost them the game, mm-hmm. you know, last night. But the point is they played above their station. You know, and in games like this, like the one we have this weekend, you look at it and you say, the Eagles, when you go man for man, probably have a more talented roster by two people, because the Rams are kind of right there. So this is going to come down to a game of, in my opinion, the last possession like it did last night, and how well we throw the football, because running the ball is not going to cut it in this game.
Well, I said what you said there is why I need to see it to believe it this week, because if it comes down to how well they're throwing the football, I need to see them do it well. We know they have ability. Jalen Hurts has ability. Obviously, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith have a world of ability. I got to see them do it in a game this season before I'm just going to say, oh, they'll figure it out. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on the game Sunday? Confident, nervous, and should we just give the Eagles the benefit of the doubt that they're just going to find a way to win? I'm not doing that, because in the NFL, you have to play well to win against good teams. You can't just say, oh, we'll just roll out there and win the football game. If they don't play well on Sunday, they'll lose. If they play well, they'll win. But I don't think we're going to squeak one out because we're the, you know, we have the better team. The Rams are the best team we've seen so far this season. 215-592-9494. For Kyle, what are you feeling on a football Friday as in come the Rams?
Yeah, I'm feeling a way that I don't think I've felt in a while.
Mm.
I am very confident that the Eagles are going to lose this game.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, we're catching
up. Oh, no, baby. What is you doing?
No. This one's a loss. And it's okay. Like, we might.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Yes,
no,
it is. We're gonna be humbled a little bit, but it's gonna cause us to look within.
You mean the Eagles or us?
Everybody, the fan base, the Eagles. We are gonna look within.
Oh boy!
And we're gonna get this thing back on the rails. It's gonna be a tough one to swallow in the moment, but everything's gonna be okay. The Rams are just playing better football than the Eagles right now. Like they are. And I think these both of these teams are very different from the ones that met in the regular season last year and the one that met in the playoffs last year. And the other part of it is like I think I would feel a little bit better if Saquon had started the season looking the way that he did last season.
Like we don't have anything we can hang our hat on right now.
Because that's the one thing that we killed the Rams with.
Twice.
Yeah. And I don't know. And the whole benefit of the doubt thing, I guess I'm kind of with you. Like, I need to see it this year before I start giving the benefit of the doubt. Like, benefit of the doubt was for last season when they were going into the Ravens game.
Yes. They've done it for months.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't go there just yet. I need to see them play better football before I start giving
them. I agree. Boy, confident in catching an L. We're off and running here. 215-592-9494. In come the Rams on Sunday. You're feeling on the game, confident, nervous. And should we just give them benefit of the doubt that they're just going to find a way, even if it looks very, very ugly?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I want to take you back 1 week, Ike.
Okay.
1 week on this program, I asked a question about the Chiefs game. I said, let me give you two options. Option number one, the Eagles win, but it's ugly, and the problems, the issues we saw on offense don't look fixed, but we get the win. Option two, the offense looks good again, and we happen to lose a hard-fought game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And everybody said to me they would take the ugly win over the pretty loss, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And here we are a week later. And I know that we're happy they won the game, but if I were to ask you, do you feel any better about the team after that game on Sunday? Most people would probably say, I don't know. We're all still asking this question about the passing offense. And by the way, the offense in general, it's not like the rushing game is humming either. So here we are, 1 week later, with the context of what we had on Sunday. And Ike, I'm going to ask you the same question. We have the Rams on Sunday. It's a revenge game for the Rams. They're a good team, big game. And I would ask you, you have two choices for the Rams game on Sunday. And I'm asking you, listening, 215-592-9494. Option number one, they win the game, but it essentially looks just like the Chiefs game. They can't throw the ball. They run the ball. Meh. The defense makes some big stops, whatever, they beat the Rams. Option number two, they lose the game, but we see a fully functional offense. Mm-hmm. Saquon's running all over the place. Jalen's throwing the ball all over the place. They're doing it. We're seeing the offense we saw in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But they lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you taking?
I'll take the win every time.
Oh.
I don't even need to think about it.
Really?
Take the W every time. Because... ultimately, as much as people like yourself, and even I at times get annoyed with it,
yeah.
But I'm also a believer in it. A win is a win. And I'll take the win. And I'll be upset about it. I'll gladly comb through it, have some constructive criticism,
yep.
Point my finger where I feel like it needs to be pointed at. But at the end of the day, I'm going to have the comfort of knowing it's a W.
Okay.
And it's in the W column. I can't get to 13-4 without stacking up wins.
You can't get to 13-4 without losing four games either, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
So that's
a fair point.
Yeah. So here's you talked about comfort. I get it. The comfort of having the third win.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking about a different kind of comfort because I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about winning a Super Bowl. And as I look through the rest of the season, I say to myself, what would make me feel more comfortable moving forward? Them getting that win or me seeing releasing the pressure that we felt all week, you know, and it has been, you know, people are happy they won. I think we're all happy they won, but there is this nagging feeling of, are we going to be able to score enough points this mm-hmm. year? And I think I would sacrifice the win. I'm not saying I'm opting for the.
Like, did you say acceptable loss?
I'm not saying acceptable loss.
Please don't say
no,
acceptable
but
loss.
What I am saying is, if you gave me a choice, an ugly game that looked like Sunday, that, you know, that I'm looking at this team and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how they're going to compete for a Super Bowl this year if they can't move the ball at all, mm-hmm. or they lose the game and the offense looks functional, the offense looks good, the offense reminds me of the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game, that is going to make me feel better about the team winning a Super Bowl than them just going out and figuring out a way to win on Sunday. Because mm-hmm. I think that runs out. I think that luck runs out. Not luck, but, you know, you're trying to win everything sure. by the skin of your teeth. That's a hard thing to do in this league.
Now, again, now if this was week 8, week 9, and it was a different sort of feeling around the team, maybe I would have a different answer for you. But you're talking about just getting to 3-0 through this stretch of games against these opponents. I'll take the W's primarily because I have enough road ahead of me
to figure out the other
things. Yes. So it's one thing if you're coming down late in the season and you don't have that much roadway ahead of you. I feel like I got enough roadway ahead of me that they still have enough time to get this thing together. I'm still holding out belief that this will change. I haven't resigned to the fact that this is what it's going to be every week.
So and
my, I promise you it's going to be different, but I'm just not yeah. accepting it right now.
Are we lowering? We went from 240 a game to 225 a game.
And I'm back up to 240.
240.
Because okay. I realized what I did. Remember last year,
yes,
the numbers were lower.
Yes.
So I really was comparing it to last year. This year, the numbers are higher. And I can't look at Daniel Jones for 275 yards a game.
No turnover.
He just got in the new offense.
Right?
He's with a new team.
Yes.
He's with his third team in 2 years. Did he start the season with the Giants and ended up with the Vikings? Is yes. that how that worked?
That's how that
and
worked.
And then he nails with the damn Colts?
Yes.
And he's looking good, and they're 2-0?
He is.
Yeah, so, yeah, I can't accept, what are we, 120? 120, what is that, 125?
A game, yes.
Yeah, I can't, yeah.
94 net
passing. Nah, I need a 240. I need him back. I need 240 a game.
So, 215-592-9494, I'm giving you a choice. You get the win, it looks ugly like Sunday, or they lose, but the offense looks good and fully functional. It reminds you of the good parts of last year. And the only thing I'll ask you is I need you to be honest today. I need you to be honest.
Tell the truth Thursday.
Tell the truth Thursday. I need you to not beat your... And this, I'm not saying that's what Ike's doing, because I believe what Ike is saying.
Correct.
But I need you to not just beat your chest and go, oh, whatever it takes to win, blah, 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 blah. I want the deepest depths of your soul.
No, what you got to do is accept that that's what most people care about.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. All right. We'll see. All right. We are joined by the great Mike Mayock. You can hear him on the Believe in Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. Mayock, thanks for joining us, man.
I appreciate it. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good,
What's
man.
What's up, Mike?
Doing pretty good. So, Eagles 2-0. We will get to the Rams game second, if you're okay with that. I want to talk about the Chiefs game first. So, yeah. Big win in Kansas City. What we have been talking about, aside from the big win most of the week, is the offense. I think the passing game headlines it, but I also think the rushing game has not been at least what we have been used to with Saquon here. So from an offensive perspective, what did you see on Sunday?
Yeah, and you know, I was driving around yesterday. I caught you guys for about 20 minutes. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little frustrated by some negativity, especially towards the quarterback.
And all right.
Spike, I think you're really good at callers, at making them, you know, calling them out to make sure that they answer your questions, and you're very good with that. And I kind of feel the same way, like, okay, so my biggest problem with their offense
yep.
the other day was that Spagnuolo ran 7-0 blitzes at him, which is crazy.
Yep.
And people that don't know what a zero blitz is, it means they're bringing one more defender on a blitz than you can block. So by definition, there's going to be a free runner, and your wideouts ought to win. Okay? They're 1-on-1 with no help. So they did it 7 times, And the first six times were three incompletions and then three completions totaling 18 yards, which is really not, it's bad. Okay. If they're going to zero blitz you, you got to make them pay. As a former defensive back, I hated zero blitz. Okay. You got to make them pay offensively if teams are going to zero blitz you. And the Eagles didn't do it until play number seven, which was the big throw down the field to Devontae Smith to the 4-yard line that ultimately set up the winning touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. But the production was awful, and I get frustrated about that. But I also know it's going to get better. And I also, when you watch the tape, like giving it, like the Jalen Hurts stuff, I get frustrated because you watch the tape, and you know, I don't think you saw what happened with the Eagles' pass protection on those 7-0 blitzes. I didn't know it until I saw it. And like on one play, Saquon Barkley missed two guys in the A-gap. I mean, he in the center. I mean, two guys in the A-gap came through untouched in addition to the free runner outside. Okay? On another pass protection, one of the tackles stepped out and blocked the defensive end instead of the safety to his inside gap. And my point is, I don't want to get overly technical, but there are so many things going on, right? To be sitting there and calling out Jalen Hurts when all he's done is take you to two Super Bowls in the last 3 years, win the first two games of your season, you know, Dallas and at Kansas City, has it been pretty? No. And I know you're frustrated by it because it doesn't look right, and you want the Eagles to get better as the season goes on, but all I'm trying to say is, man, I know how hard it is to win in this league. Ike knows how hard it is to win in this freaking league, man. And it might be ugly, but they're 2-0, and give them a chance to work into their new offensive coordinator, the differences in their offensive line, get comfortable with what they can do. And ultimately, if somebody wants to run 7-0s at you, you got to be run. I mean, you got two of the best wideouts in the league, and you got to use them to take advantage and win. But you also have to pass protect properly also. So I'm just kind of using that as an example of, I feel like you guys are all over Jalen, and the kid is, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I mean, I don't get the criticism, to be honest.
Okay, so all fair points. Let me push back here. So you're right. For every single play, I did not go back and watch the way that you did on every single play. However, and Jalen Hurts did win the Super Bowl, and there are plenty of great things about Jalen Hurts. However, I will present this to you. Every year since 2022, they have passed for fewer yards than they have the year before. The last 3 years, they have had three separate offensive coordinators. Their pass game in 2023 was littered with turnovers. And one of the criticisms was that the pass game and the offense was too simple, and was the other teams were figuring it out, and that's why it wasn't working. In 2024, there were specific articles, especially after the bye week, that they simplified the offense and they just concentrated on the players that they had. But once again, the pass game took a step back. He didn't turn the ball over, but they were 29th in the league in passing. This year, again, just trend-wise, another new offensive coordinator. Again, the criticism is that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, once again, not involved in the offense, with a different offensive coordinator, with, again, similar criticisms. So what that says to me is there are two constants over those 3 years, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. So if it is an issue that the pass game is getting worse, and you're right, they have a ton of talent, but part of that talent is supposed to be the guy who is under center, who is being paid $55 million a year. So we have A.J. Brown, who's super talented, Devontae Smith, who is super talented, Dallas Goedert was not there on Sunday, super talented, Saquon Barkley, offensive line, all of those things. Are they all going to be perfect every time? Absolutely not. Are there going to be stinkers in there? Absolutely. Did they win the Super Bowl? Yes. But when we're trying to diagnose what is going on here, and when we have the only quarterback in the NFL who hasn't thrown a touchdown pass, the only one, the backup that they just drafted in Cleveland, Dylan Gabriel has a touchdown pass. All those things, if you look at it and you say, we have the most talented offense in all of football, and we can't figure out a way to have a dynamic passing game. Now, people will point to the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, which were great, absolutely big games. But if there isn't a way to replicate that regularly, I think you have to look and say, why is that? So that is the perspective that I'm coming from. It is more big picture than it is about Sunday's game.
And I look at it, I think you provided a couple of the answers to the audience, but you took the negative side of it. I look at it like, hey, three coordinators in 3 years, it takes a while to get through your process and your identity. Like last year, they were 2-2 when they went to their bye week. And I didn't know who they were offensively. And to be really honest with you, I don't know who they are this year. Okay? The common denominator there is new coordinators each year. All right? And you're right. He had too many turnovers in 23. And I think that's why he was risk adverse last year. And I told you guys several times, I watched enough tape to see where I just wanted him to rip it and give 6 and 11 chances to make plays. Okay? I told you that last year. And then when they got in the playoffs in the Super Bowl, he did that. Ball came out early. He gave them chances to make plays, and they did. Now you saddle him with the third offensive coordinator in 3 years, and if you go back to college, he's got about 7 and 8 years. I mean, every year this kid has got to learn a new offense with different nuance.
But it's not a new offense. I mean, here is what I see. Hold on, Mike. It is three offensive coordinators in 3 years, for sure. But you can look around the league. Baker Mayfield's had three offensive coordinators in 3 years. Daniel Jones is with a different offensive coordinator, a different head coach, and a completely different team and is functional. The Philadelphia Eagles are returning 9 of 11 starters on offense, I believe, including all the skill players. And their offensive coordinator has been the pass game coordinator for the Eagles for 3 years. So, yeah. Yes, it's new, but it's not that new.
But I guess my point, the bigger picture, okay, you want to talk bigger picture, is that you want to point at the $55 million guy when there's an awful lot of moving parts to this right now. One of them is the coordinator who's going to put his own patent on this offense. Is it Nick's ultimately? Sure. But each guy's a little different, okay? There's different nuances to what they're trying to work through. So at the end of the day, you got to look at it and say, okay, it's a different OC. Okay, we got to work through that process. Number two, how's the offensive line playing? I'm a Stoutland guy, always have been, love Stout. But I thought they played below average last week. I think the left guard is hurt and not playing up to his capabilities. I think they're having some issues up front with communication. And at the end of the day, we lump it all into the Jalen puddle. It's all Jalen's fault.
I don't think that's what everybody is saying. Now, maybe that's what you heard in the 20 minutes. We've heard on the radio stations, there's been plenty of Kevin Petullo. We had several callers talking about Nick Sirianni as well. I think, you know, when you said, and this is why he gets a lot of the blame, right? You said to me, all the kid's done is take the team to 2 Super Bowls and win one. Well, okay, so all that one player has done, you're giving him credit for going to 2 Super Bowls and winning one, yet everybody else is the problem when it goes wrong. You know, he's the quarterback. So if he's going to get all the credit and he's going to be the Super Bowl MVP and he's going to be the face of the team and we're going to give him credit when things go well and when they win games, which, by the way, we had the best player in the league in Saquon Barkley last year. We had the number one team in the defense in the league last year. And what you just said to me was, Jalen Hurts took them to win a Super Bowl. So what I'm going to tell you is, just one more second. What I'm going to tell you is, if you're going to tell me that Jalen Hurts took them to win a Super Bowl last year, I'm going to tell you that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback of this offense that has not looked good this year.
He's the leader of that team. And generically, we all talk about quarterbacks, whether they take their teams to the playoffs. I didn't mean it specifically. Okay, at the end of the day, we all know that the Eagles are set up a little bit differently than most teams. And what does that mean? You've already told me about all the talent, okay? So the kid has to step up when he needs to, and in the biggest moments he has.
Yeah.
I'm really saying at the end of the day is give the guy an opportunity to work through what they're working through, because it's O-line. Let me tell you, here's one thing, okay? Like the first play of the game was, and I don't know if you guys saw it or
we did.
Yep, I know. We did. Yep, we seen it.
It was dialed up for a shot to A.J. Brown, right?
Yep.
And A.J. Brown was open.
Yep.
And they max protected, play action, and Kansas City ran a corner blitz, and both tight ends missed the block. Both of them on one corner. 81 was late getting out of his block, and 80, whatever it is, 83, couldn't get there in time coming across. So the tight ends went 0 for 2 when that should have been a 70-yard touchdown. How different would the conversation be if play number one had been blocked correctly and they go 70 to A.J. to kick that game off?
Yeah, but how different would the conversation be with that pass that you're talking about to Devontae Smith that by the way, was an outrageous play by Devontae Smith? Like, how different are we talking about the game if Devontae Smith doesn't go back and get that pass? We can do all day, you know, this play happened, this play didn't happen, whose fault was this, whose fault was that? But I think big picture, like you said, the praise and the criticism is always going to come back on the head coach and the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ike.
Go ahead, Ike.
Yeah. I was going to jump in here for a second, Mike, because here's the thing I'm looking for. I'm looking for, I guess, reason to continue to believe that it's going to get better. Let me ask you this, Mike, in watching it. Do you think they're close to the passing game sort of being more effective? And do you believe they need to be better in the passing game? I know they're 2-0 right now, and they've done what they needed to do to win games. And winning games early in the season when people are still trying to get their footing is most important. But when you get to the middle of the season in November and December, I feel like you need to be at your best. So one of the things I'm wondering is, can we win like this, throwing 100, 125 yards a game? Or do you believe there's plays there that they're one or two blocks or what have you away from connecting on those things? Do you feel like they will get better in this area?
What I think my point is, and maybe I haven't made it well,
uh-huh,
is that I think they've earned the right to work their way into this thing. And like last year when they were 2-2, they ended up winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This year they're 2-0. And am I happy with the pass game? No. I think you probably could tell by the way I just talked about zero coverage.
Right.
I think you got to have a dagger and go attack the defense with two of the best wideouts in football. Okay?
Yeah.
However, I believe that they're going to figure that out and a way to pass protect it, to give them time to do that.
Okay.
And all the other things that go into that. Do I think it's going to take some time, Mike? I do. Okay? Do I love the pass game today? No. But it's hand-in-hand with a run game.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are frustrated with the run game. And, you know, he went 22 for 88, I think, 4 yards. You know he isn't running any differently than he did last year. Okay? And at the end of the day, again, I think game plan and who you're playing, as they go forward, they have to get better. If they don't get better, it's not playoffs and it's not Super Bowl. Like, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it
right
at all.
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing is give them time to figure it out and get there, because the execution is not good today offensively.
No, listen, that's why we love having you. That's why we love having you. We know you're going to go comb through the tape. You're going to see things that we don't see, and be able to provide that information. So I'm good with that. I think when this thing with the radio, right? We discuss this every day, and I think and I'm not faulting you or what have you, because when you catch the show, whenever you catch it, you're catching the conversation wherever it's
right
at.
Right.
And so I totally understand that. I think the large portion of the week has been trying to figure out why it's this way. Will it get better? Who's at fault for why it's this way? The OC, is it the quarterback? And it's when we do this every day, it becomes a little repetitive, I believe, for a lot of people. But I don't know. I don't, you know, Spike is a little more critical, and I understand where he's coming from. But I think the large majority of people just feel like it needs to get better. They're happy that the team is 2-0, but they feel like, man, can we win like this if we play like this all year long? You know what I'm saying? Like, you almost had that feeling of, we're not dominating a team, we're getting by.
Right. And everything you said, I agree with. What I'm trying to say is really just, having been with the Raiders,
mm-hmm,
gave me a different perspective than just a quote media guy.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I played in the NFL. I wasn't
yes
good, But I was a player too.
Yep.
So it made me realize how hard it is to win in this friggin' league. Okay. And that it is a process. And that if you don't come out week one and two killing it, like the Eagles a year ago, going into bye week, you know, people are going to lose their jobs and players aren't going to get extended. Bad things happen as a consequence. All I'm saying is I trust that they're going to get it right over time.
Yeah.
Will it be quick? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of work to do, especially in the pass game. But I think they got to trust those two wideouts, and they got to throw the ball to them even when they look like they're covered, especially when it's press coverage and you get a defensive back's back turned to the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
And that's what they did on that last one. So, you know, to a degree, Spike, I'm agreeing with you. It has to get better. It has to get better or it's not going to be good. But all I'm saying is, man, if these guys haven't earned your trust and confidence, who the hell ever will?
Well, that's the thing with Spike, Mike. Are you kidding me? Earning his trust and confidence, that's probably one of the hardest things to do around here.
Yeah, I don't trust that.
But Joel Embiid's going to be great this year.
I think overall is if it hadn't been things, the thing that you just said, right, is the, and Ike's right. And by the way, it's not just the Eagles, it's every team. It's how I am. But the thing that you just said, that I think that, yes, they have earned as an organization the trust that they'll get it right.
Yeah.
For sure, in one way or another.
Yes.
Sure. But the other thing that comes into my mind is when you said, okay, they have to throw it to those guys whether they're open or not. Or, you know what? But if I hadn't heard that same exact thing for 17 games last year, you know, with a few exceptions, I think I would be more willing to think this is going to work its way out. But truthfully, it was most of the year last year until those final two games. So I think the bigger concern is if these were things we hadn't seen before, that's a different problem. We didn't expect, but they are similar issues. He was hesitant to pull the trigger on those plays last year too. So that's where the concern is.
Let's turn the page real fast for the Rams. Last thing I have to say is basically 2-2, they go into a bye week and they come out. What's their identity starting week five offensively? Run the damn ball. That's who they're going to be. And you know what? That made a huge difference in the rest of that season. Everything came off the run. And because of that, and because the kid had thrown interceptions the year before, he was ultra-conservative, and that's okay. It won you a Super Bowl, okay? And did he start to rip the ball at the end of the year when teams got better in the playoffs and they're trying to shut Saquon down? Hell yeah, they did. And what I'm hoping and believing is that they're going to work towards that again. And all I know is that Sean McVay reminds me a lot of John Gruden, and he's going to sit up all night, every night this week. I don't know if he'll sleep. And he's going to scheme how to get Puka or Devontae on number 8. And that's what he's going to spend all week doing. And that's what he's unbelievable at. He really is.
What do you think's going to happen on Sunday?
You know what? I this is one I can't talk much about because I haven't seen their tape. I saw some of, you know, I know him from last year with a lot of tape, and I know Sean personally, and, you know, I know how his mind works. He comes from the Gruden school and how they think. He's going to bring an offensive challenge to the Eagles, okay? And Matthew Stafford is a completely different quarterback when you can smack him a couple times early in the game. When he's back there with impunity, it's like Jared Goff the other night. You know, he's just going to rip it all over the place. And then as far as defensively, their front is really good. It's one of the youngest, best front groups in the league. Back end is a little bit questionable, especially with Witherspoon going down. So again, I think it gives the Eagles an opportunity, if they want, to try and get after the pass game early and push the ball down the field, try and get some completions, try and get people to back out of the box a little bit, get a lead, and then run Saquon. For me, I would love to see that.
All right, Mike. Well, I appreciate the back and forth. Always informed, always great. We will look forward to talking to you next week, Mike.
Hope you guys have a great week.
All right, you too, Mike. I love Mayock.
Oh, yeah.
I love Mayock. I love Mayo. Let me go back and forth with him. You know, guy was a general manager of a football team. Let me go back. I love Mayo. A plus. I love Mayo.
We got through it.
I love that. Yeah. What?
Nothing.
That was good.
Listen, I'm trying to keep the peace, man.
So we do.
Yes.
I don't have Mayock's info. Tell him I love him. Yeah,
I'm trying to keep the peace.
All right.
Trying to keep the peace.
The quarterback's an all right player.
I want to make sure we keep Mike.
Yes, I thought that was a reasonable back
fine.
And forth.
You were okay. fine. Yeah, you right. were fine. No, okay. Everybody was respectful. You yes. respectfully disagree. Yes. There's nothing wrong with that.
I can't. He can't. Yeah, he's coming at my throat. You know, I can't just sit there and take it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To me, it is not just about the Eagles winning the game. Winning the game is very important. I think it matters how they win the game. And we've talked about the offense all week long, and rightly so. I get it. I understand. But I think there are questions on both sides. So the defense, we've seen them play two games, right? And the one game, it was not good at all against the Cowboys. And against the Chiefs, it was good. But against the Chiefs, we don't know if the defense was good or if the Chiefs just don't have any weapons, probably a combination of two. So I'm very, very curious to see how the defense goes. And the offense, I mean, we've been talking about it all week. If the offense, not just Saquon, obviously, who has not really gone off so far this year, but if A.J. Brown doesn't get a bunch of catches, this is not going away, and this will only get bigger next week. If they win 2017, he has two catches. I promise you he's saying something after the game. So it's important that they win, but I also think that it is important how they win and how they look. I know just putting the W's, you know, stacking the W's. It's important, but the final thing I'll say is when we were coming into this season, we sort of thought it was the Eagles and everybody else in the NFC. Doesn't really feel that way right now. Feels like the Packers are really, really good. We're probably in the same class. The Rams might be really, really good. We don't know how maybe the Bucks are really, really good. Yeah. You know, so, and the Lions, you know, they bad first week, but who knows? So, you know, if we want to believe that we are separated from the rest of the NFC, it's not just about winning. It is about how you win in a certain way. So I think a win is important, but how they win is just as important to me.
Listen, I understand the how they look in winning this game sort of outlook on the game.
Yeah,
I totally get it. I understand it. You know, the first 2 weeks, you kind of had to scrape and claw your way to victory. You sort of hope that by the third week, things are clicking and you're moving and operating in a much more fluid manner on both sides of the football. But I'll say this. I think we get that. I think we get a much better looking offense, a much more well-rounded offense, but I do believe this game will be won with the running game and the defense. I do believe that. I think offensively, they're going to come out and try to establish Saquon Barkley. They've had so much success with Saquon against the Rams. It's hard to imagine they wouldn't at least go into the game thinking, execute the same offense until they prove to you that they can stop what you're doing in the running game. But it doesn't mean that they shouldn't take shots, play action pass down the field to lessen, I guess, the burden on the running game to be effective. So I think we'll still get shots down the field, but also I believe this is a game for our defense. Because I look at the Rams, their offense is the strength of their team. Matthew Stafford, those wide receivers, I like Kyren Williams as well as a young running back. So if Matthew Stafford is able to be back there and be Matthew Stafford, it's going to be a tough day, and you got to be at your best. So I'm expecting our D-line to play well this weekend. Jalen Carter, introduce yourself to the 2025 season, right? Like it's time. You got two games under your belt. Well, one game under your belt.
Yeah. One game in 5 seconds.
Yes. Yeah. But Sunday is a day that he needs to introduce himself to this season and make his impact felt. So I like the Eagles in this game Sunday, but it won't be easy because I tell you, Spike, we look at those other teams around the league, and I think they're very good teams. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Detroit, still good teams. I think this is the team that we see in the championship game.
The Rams.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think this is the team we see in the NFC championship.
Again, all we do is play the Chiefs and the Rams and the
Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the only teams.
And Kirk Cousins, whatever team he's on.
I truly believe that this is I know this is an Elliott thing, and he hasn't said it this week. I do think this is a style points game. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can just sneak out. The rumblings on the offensive side and the questions on the defensive side are too many to just squeak out of there with a win where nobody looks real good, and we throw our shoulders up and we go, well, they got to win. I think it is a style points game. 215-592-9494. It's on the record Friday. We want to know, do they win? How do they win or lose? And does it matter how they look, or does it matter if they just get out of there with a win?
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.